This podcast is being brought to you by The Legal Brief. Van White would like to thank you, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten a chance to meet this young man. Your name, sir?
If only I was young. Thank you, Andre. Tom Batley with New York Photonics. We're the Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster.
Now, that's a magic word, photonics. I've been hearing that word for over 20 years. And I want to see, finally, is it going to ever come to fruition in Rochester?
It's already come to fruition in Rochester, Andre. There's about 18,000 people working in the optics, photonics, and imaging industry in the region. If we include Corning, down in Corning, New York, that's about 24,000 people. So optics, photonics, and imaging is alive and well in Rochester. What we're trying to do is grow it.
Well, I'd like to see it grown with people of color. I might as well just come straight out. You're WDKX. I don't know if you know, WDKX is founded by my dad, Andrew Langston. And he didn't found it for any reasons outside of having a voice for the community and also to give them jobs. And so when I heard about you through Van White, you know, DKX is Douglas King Malcolm X. I want to see people of color, brown, black. I want to see women. Do you have people of color and women involved with photonics now?
We are on board. That is one of our goals. There are jobs that are available today. We are trying to get a lot more women, a lot more young men, a lot more people of color, people who might not know about the industry, involved in this and get involved in making some money with some good paying jobs.
Well, I'm a known nerd. So that's the first reason when I heard you were in the building, I came running upstairs because I wanted to be a part of this podcast. Because when I saw these two young men, by the way, introduce yourself, son.
I'm Tavion Fennell. I work at Optimax and I graduated from East High School in June of 2019.
Congratulations. Your name?
I'm John Carlos Alomar. I also graduated from East High School June 2018. I work at Applied Image.
And these two young men look like they could be part of my family. And I was very proud to see when you came up, and I'm like, wow, how'd you get involved with photonics?
So in high school, I was confused. Maybe from 7th to 12th grade, I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I didn't know if I wanted to go to college or what kind of job did I want. I didn't know what life had to offer for me, basically. So my buddy, he was in a program, optics program, that we featured at our school from about 9th grade, and he was loving it. So he used to just tell me little stuff about it. And like, I would get a little interested, but not enough to really convince me. So I had a relationship with a teacher called Mr. Eckert, and like, he used to tell me I should get into it. And I had the class for my 11th grade year, and I ended up dropping the class. So my senior year, I was like, all right, I'm going to give it up, give it my all. I'm just going to try something new and see where it takes me. And I ended up going to a meeting where Jimmy Van Kallenberg came, and he was presenting to me, and like, he snatched my attention away instantly. Like, I was instantly just thrilled with the opportunities and the benefits that he had to offer with Optimax, and it was like just great. So Conroe got me a shout out to my teacher, Mr. Conroe. He got me a job shadow through February. It was, I think, the 17th, the 18th, and the 19th, and I went there for a couple of days, and like my attention just kept building and building. Like, it was just like to see the stuff now was just cool. I couldn't do nothing but to see it. Was just like, it was great to see it, so I could get more of an understanding and more of a feel for it. And by June or July, I was doing an internship, and like, that's what landed me the spot there ultimately. So I'm grateful for my teachers and everybody at Optimax.
So the teachers, they can't see it on this podcast, but I've got to introduce this young man. This is funny in this world. People see you, but you don't know they do. Right. Now, I've been watching you, not like I'm a stalker, but you've been doing great things with students at the schools. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Paul Conroe. I'm also an East High graduate, class of 95, but I've been a science teacher there since 2001. And right around 2008, 2009, I met Tom Batley, and I had the seed of an idea to create an optics program at my school so that the students that you identified, students of color, girls especially, have an opportunity to join this $3 billion a year industry in Rochester.
Now, Paul, the thing is, it's not as easy as that, because other schools would be doing it. I mean, see, you're shorting things. Take credit, because Tom, I know he'll take credit. But the thing is, I'm glad for him, But you are a special person. As a teacher, I really want to take a point before I get to you, young man. I'm so tired of everybody slamming teachers. Mm. There's teachers, a bunch of teachers in the industry, and right here in Rochester, like you, that care about kids, and you want to see them excel. Definitely. Why aren't other schools doing this? Uh-oh, here we go. No. Hot button item.
It's a real simple solution. For me, I had a radical change when I toured these optics companies back in 2008, 2009 with Tom. And what I saw was the majority of the workforce was not working at desks and cubicles, but the people in the optics industry liked working. They liked their job. They were on their feet. They were making something cool. And the work was, it's advanced manufacturing, relatively clean, very safe, fairly quiet work. And I thought, I think if somebody dropped a sack of money on my desk and I had the machinery, I could teach high school kids how to do this kind of work, not at the mastery level, but just give a teenager a chance to see if they like doing it. And of course, they'll still get trained when they get hired, but we've at least gone through that first cut. Hey, do you like doing this kind of work? And so, I mean, I get just kind of tingly thinking about the fact that, you know, I'm sitting next to two students here and I've got, you know, a dozen more that have left East High and are now working in the industry. And but that's not enough. We need a dozen a year, not a dozen every 6 years.
This podcast is being brought to you by thelegalbrief.com. Now, I want to get to this young man. Now, do you also go to East High also?
I graduated from East High in June 2018.
Now, how did you get involved with photonics?
Ninth grade, I took a tour down to the E-Wing, which is where all the cool classes are. And there was culinary, there was Mr. Newman's, makes the glasses and stuff. And there was optics, precision optics. And I went in there, I seen it was hands-on, some cool machines. So I started taking it in my sophomore year. I started just grinding glass, beveling, cutting, polishing, stuff like that. And I fell in love with it. And my senior year, a little bit after my birthday, I got my first job at an optics company called AccuCoat, which is on Humble Street. Worked there for about a year. I loved it.
I could see your face when you said, when he started to talk about loving the job.
Yeah.
You both love your jobs.
Yep, most definitely.
And your name again?
John Carlos.
John Carlos, your family be proud of you. Now, the young lady to your right, the left on the radio here, your name, ma'am?
I'm Alexis Vogt. I am the chair and professor of optics at Monroe Community College. So I'd like to point out first that the program that Paul Conroe created here at East High School is the only program of its kind in any high school in the entire world.
Thank you. Say that one more time. That's what I wanted Paul to say, but he wouldn't take credit for
it. That's exactly right.
Say it one more
time. That's right. East High School is the only high school in the entire world that has a precision optics program. Monroe Community College is the only community college in the entire world that has a precision optics program. So Paul and I are training the workforce for the optics and photonics industry, and we simply don't have enough students. We need more students. So last year alone, MCC sent 12 students into the optics industry to fill an annual demand of 574 optics technicians. And that's just in the Finger Lakes area. So when we extrapolate this nationwide and we take into account the number of experienced optics technicians who are retiring, we have 98% of our jobs over that going unfilled every single year.
So I'm Rain. Now I have to ask this question to jump in because I hear optics technician. How much does an optics technician make starting out and maybe when you retire?
I was able to get basically $30,000 a year. So like I can't.
And how old are you?
18 years old.
18 years old, yes, $30,000 a year.
Yes, ma'am.
That's pretty good.
Yes, it's great. I cannot complain. I won't.
That's pretty amazing. So and how much do you
At about the same, and I'm 18 also.
So up to what could you make? Like once you're there, you may say you're 10 years in.
There are experienced...
Like if you're a senior optics technician.
There are many experienced optics technicians in Rochester making over $100,000 a year. And their background may be a high school education or it may be a two-year degree from MCC. We have CEOs of optics companies in Rochester who have a two-year degree from MCC. This is an incredible field. And the best part is it's exciting work. It's wonderful work. Yes, so a technician and some of the work that these gentlemen are doing, they are making things with their hands. So someone who is an artist, a musician, a gamer, a chef, an automobile mechanic, a bicycle mechanic, perfect to be an optics technician. So it's the person who is manufacturing the optics. So someone who would have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or a PhD in optics would sit in front of a computer and design the next backup camera or the next laser system that's going to go to Mars. And then the person who actually manufactures it with their hands are these gentlemen here. They're the optics technician. So they're doing a lot of the hands-on work.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect you guys to start off making that much. Right. That's a lot of money. So what are some of the things that you see yourself doing? Because you want a career in this. So right. And I'm going to ask both of you the question. So what do you, like, where do you see yourself going in this? Do you see yourself maybe owning your own optics company?
So to get to that, I'm actually polishing right now. And I love polishing. It's great. But I don't want to stay here forever. I want to keep growing and keep learning. And I honestly want to get to the top to be a president or maybe own my own business. It's just, I don't want to stop myself. Wherever I can keep going, and there's no ceiling. I just want to keep going up. So if I could get to be my own business owner or a president, that'd be great. And give jobs to everybody else, I would love to do that.
Giancarlo?
Well, eventually I want to go to school for it, just so I can get a little bit more education for it. And then a two-year degree from MCC gives you a lot more money.
Okay. Well, that's pretty amazing. And is there anything, like, when you're an optics technician, besides, I know you said you polish, what else do you do? Like, what else could you do? Just to give people an idea of some of the other things besides polishing and other things that you could do in this field.
So it's other departments such as, like, shaping, which where you will cut the glass and, like, shape it to a specific shape or whatever the print calls for. Cosmetics, which is cleaning the glass, making sure there's no, like, scratches and stuff like that that could affect the photonics or basically how stuff is seen through it. You can do, like, it's like metrology, like more of measuring and stuff. It's a lot of different areas. It's, like, it's very cool. It's, like, you can't be limited to one thing, or you could you could do, like, blocking and stuff, blocking up parts, de-blocking parts, stuff like that. Human resources is, like, if you don't want to work with your hands, you could go be on a computer and stuff like that. So it's no limits.
I think you'd be good at sales.
In fact, that's what I tell my students at MCC is that optics is an incredible field because it opens up doors for you. So here in Rochester alone, we have over 120 optics companies. Not only do they need technicians who are working with their hands to manufacture and test optics, but they also all need sales, marketing, advertising, business people. So optics can be an avenue to get into those fields. If you study optics first and then go get your MBA or then learn the marketing side of it, that makes you extremely valuable to your company because you know the optics side as well.
Definitely.
So if I was a student, not at East, but at another school, and I was actually considering, after listening to this podcast, I was considering getting into this field. How do I go about it? Where do I start? Or do I apply at one of the jobs, but I want to further my career? So where do I go?
So certainly MCC for either a one-year certificate program, a two-year associate's degree program, or a 2+2 program where you would come to MCC for 2 years and then transfer on to the University of Rochester into their Institute of Optics program, or to RIT for their imaging science program. So if you want to take the educational route straight from high school, you can certainly come to MCC as a first stopping point. East High School is the only high school that has a precision optics lab. There are 12 high schools in the Rochester area that are doing a dual enrollment optics course where those schools are teaching my introduction to optics course that I teach at MCC in their respective high school. So there are some other schools who are exposed to it, but not to the same level that Paul has exposed these wonderful students who have then learned that this is the field they want to go into.
Maybe we need more Mr. Conroes.
There you go. There you go. Bring him to the... Come on, Paul.
So one of the things that you always have to keep in mind is how are we spending dollars? And what I notice, so I'll just put it on the table that my son is in my optics program at East. I have three kids at East right now. And I like the way that East High School spends its technology dollars. There's smart boards and there's laptop computers, which many high schools have. But the technology in my space in the Precision Optics Lab is well over $1 million. And the state Department of Education gives us a grant that funds this program and a sister program that we call Vision Care. And with those dollars, though, we give high school students real-world job training. And so it's an everybody wins. We're spending many thousands of dollars on laptops and smart boards, which is great, but we need to spend more money, not just to find Mr. Conroes, but you've got to give Mr. Conroes the machinery. So my kids, Tay and John Carlos, and kids this, my son this year, learn how to polish glass using the same kind of spindle polishers as at Optimax. They use the metrology tools. They use something called an interferometer. We have a huge set of optical alignment tools so the students can do experiments that might give them more of a taste of research for how optics could be used for new inventions. The optical alignment is what you do after the optics is made. So those things, if you want to do them right in terms of preparing kids, high school students for jobs, you've got to spend some of your technology budget on those, getting those things in those kids' hands.
Now, don't you feel good now seeing the hard work that you put out there? I just want to plug one more time. This podcast is being brought to you by thelegalbrief.com. But if it wasn't for Van White, I'm going to show you folks how all this came together. Van's a friend, family of the station. He introduced us. That's why Tom, we know each other, but from afar. We just know names.
Right.
But it takes a whole village to build a whole community really works.
Absolutely. You got to make the connections. Half of my job is making connections. So when these connections get made here, I can just stand back and look for where can I help break down barriers. And coming to talk to you, getting on this podcast here, this is another way to make connections and overcome barriers.
But we also want to get you both. I want to get you all on the air also, but I want to find this is where the money starts. So you see the money he mentioned. I don't know how all this works. Well, we want to thank you for doing your job.
Speaking of money, thank you so much. You know, I'll take credit for what I've done. But speaking of money, this week, Alexis Vogt, the professor of optics at MCC, got a call from the Department of Naval Research, and a grant that she worked on at MCC over the summer was awarded. She got a $4.4 million grant to replicate what we do at MCC at other schools.
Look at John Carlos starting to smile. Money's giving.
around the country.
That's a big time.
And listen, when you put these guys on the spot and said, what is their future going to be? What do they see in their future? You have to understand, adults, you think they knew what they wanted to do when they were 18 years old?
No.
If you had asked me what I was going to be doing in the future when I was 18 years old, you would have got bleh, 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 right? I commend Paul and Alexis for taking young people and getting them passionate about this. And I commend young people for taking a chance. I mean, I know that this probably kind of scared the hell out of you saying, can I fit in this? I go out to Optimax. Do I see another black face anywhere in the building? Right. There's more than one African-American guy working at Optimax, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, we got to see some African-American women. We got to see some Latinas. How about you? Only black face, only dark face where
there's
you worked?
One other person.
One other person,
yeah,
right.
That's it.
So you guys are there opening doors. It's spectacular. I'm getting teary-eyed.
One of the things that I'm excited about as the teacher is that the best recruitment that I can create is sitting right next to me. If John and Tay come into school and talk to eighth or ninth graders who aren't in the program or even those who are, they're far more credible than anyone else, not because of their complexion, but because they have recently graduated from East. And high school kids see themselves. I mean, if you didn't know that they weren't graduates of East, you might think they're still students there. They look so young. But they really are going to be trailblazers. And the path that they're creating is just going to be so much easier for other people to walk down.
And part of the funding that we received at MCC for our optics department, one of the initiatives is to increase the number and diversity of optics technicians nationwide. And so the work that you both are doing just by being you every day is leading that campaign. And I'm thrilled to report that in my introduction to optics class at MCC, out of 30 students, I have 6 women. 2 of them are African American. That's a record for us. Something to celebrate. Yet at the same time, is 6 out of 30 something to celebrate? So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Definitely. But we are following in your footsteps.
Well, that's why we do these things. This podcast, once again, brought to you by WDKX and The Legal Brief. I'd like to thank Van White. I'd like to thank... I'm proud of you two.
Thank you.
I wish we could do a visual podcast, because this to see the smiles on your face and somebody that's happy to go to work. Yeah. I mean, thank you for coming up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a nice day.